he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Welcome to the Wednesday morning, November 29th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. We're having a little issue with our internet here today, so I'll be on the cell phone until we get it fixed. We have a good start to the market, however. The NASDAQ is up 91 points. We're at 14,370. The Dow is up 86 points to 35,502. The S&P 500 is up 23 points right now. That's a half a percent. 4,578 on the S&P 500. Small caps up 1.6%. That tells me that we've probably got a rally going on in the bond market, which is dropping interest rates and helping those small caps. Crude oil up 19 cents today to $76.60. Gold broke out yesterday. I sent that chart out this morning to my subscribers. Client,
yeah, I saw that this morning.
Gold up $6.50 this morning. We're all the way up to $2,067 per ounce on gold. Silver's up 29 cents to $25.59. And the 10-year, here's your big story and the biggest reason behind the lift in the NASDAQ today. The 10-year is down 7 basis points. We're cleared down to 4.27. After hitting 5% not that long ago. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And we do have a nice start to the market here. Interest rates have really, really been a key factor here in the market this year. As they were last year. Last year we had a rising interest rate environment, and that was not good for equities, and it was not good for bond funds. And it was a very, the wind was in the face of the market last year, especially the high PE growth stocks, the long duration stocks, the long duration bonds. But this year we have a totally different situation with the Fed. Probably winding down their rate hike rampage that they went on. And now there is some discussion. We're starting to hear predictions of rate cuts coming, although I don't think that will happen anytime soon. It was a mixed day yesterday in the market. The Dow was up a little. It was up 85 points. Well, they were both up. The NASDAQ was up 40. The big story for me yesterday was the breakout in gold. Huge day for gold. And why? Because gold has an inverse relationship with the U.S. dollar, and we've seen the U.S. dollar, which has been selling off here recently. It's hard to predict gold, the dollar, etc. It's been very hard to predict interest rates in the bond market here recently. But we watch those trends on a daily basis. We had record Cyber Monday, record Black Friday, so that shows us that the consumer is still in pretty good shape. The consumer confidence numbers yesterday came in pretty good, so we seem to be okay for now with the consumer.
In that drop in the dollar,
was Charlie Munger passing away at the age of 99. I think he was on CNBC earlier in the week or late last week. They were talking about his upcoming 100th birthday, and obviously he died with his boots on doing what he loved doing at the age of 99. Warren Buffett's associate. They were together, those two, for over 60 years. Berkshire Hathaway could not have been built to its present status without Charlie's inspiration, wisdom, and participation, said Warren Buffett. Munger was vice chairman and one of its biggest shareholders, including some $2.1 billion worth of stock as of March 2nd. The polymath and Buffett, he was called the polymath, were both born in Omaha, Nebraska. They transformed Berkshire from a textile manufacturer into a giant conglomerate in a partnership that lasted nearly 60 years. So rest in peace, Charlie Munger, who was always interesting to listen to, always was outspoken. He had interesting comments to say about EBITDA. I can't repeat what he said on the airwaves about EBITDA. And he's famous for calling Bitcoin sewage. So that's Charlie Munger. Okay, we've got interest rates continuing to retreat. I'm just going to guess that maybe the Treasury has softened up a bit on bringing a new issuance to the market, and maybe they're softened up a bit on unloading their balance sheet, unloading some bonds on the market, and maybe the short sellers are leaving the bond market alone for now. We've seen some stabilization there. We had interest rates top out at around 5%, and now they've pulled back clear down to 4.25%. Do we have Barry? I don't know if I can hear Barry there.
Yeah, I'm here, Bill. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you.
We can thank Waller's. We can thank Governor Waller's comments yesterday for that. The drop that we're seeing in the 10-year here. Really, you know, he actually, they actually were mentioning in terms of kind of fueling that potential rate cut fervor. I'm not sure if Powell was a big fan of those comments, but it's certainly the market is.
Yeah, I don't see any rate cuts coming anytime soon, maybe by the middle of next year. But, of course, if we were to start slipping into a recession, on the other hand, the GDP came in today at 5.2% on an annualized basis. That beat the estimate, so I don't think there's any recession fears at the current time. And you know what, Barry? I've also seen a narrowing a flattening of the yield curve. We only have a 33 basis points now. The 2-year has come all the way back to 4.66. It was well over 5 for quite some time. So we've had a big narrowing in the gap. We're 33 basis points now between the 2-year and the 10-year.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, earlier this year, you and I talking about it being over 100. So
yeah, it was well over 100. I mean, I think it was up around 110 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's good to see the bond market settle down, stabilize. It was really volatile there for a while. U.S. international trade, that's the trade gap, that widens in October, clear to almost $90 billion. That's a big gap in between those two. We exported $170 billion. We imported $271 billion, and therein lies the trade gap. I think inflation is becoming yesterday's news, which is good for the market, good for the bond market and the stock market. Germany, which had some of the hottest inflation there for quite some time, it's all the way down to 3.2 now, 3.2%. That's the lowest level since June of 2021. I would say that the one remaining hot spot, and I think it's probably still the hottest spot, seems to be the United Kingdom. We'll see when we get the numbers out of there if their inflation's continuing to drop. But Germany, I mean, they got slammed with natural gas prices, supply chain issues, all kinds of different things. But now it's coming back here to 3.2%.
Well, and remember, England, the UK had to deal with not only COVID, they weren't even all the way through Brexit, right, before COVID. So they've got a couple of, really inflationary, tailwinds that they've had to deal with over the last handful of years.
Yeah. And, another issue that we're seeing, all of a sudden the ships that are bringing trade and commerce, the U.S. warned ships of evolving threats and critical trade routes. That's in that Red Sea region where, the Houthi rebels are commandeering, pirates are commandeering ships out there at sea. So that's another little factor here to weigh in. Now, when we come back, we'll talk about the biggest deal taking place, a surprise deal, in my judgment. More on that when we come back to the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're sorry for the being on the cell phones today, but there's some issues there at the Salem Radio Network, SRN in Dallas, that they're trying to fix. In the meantime, Barry, have you ever heard of... Well, here's the trivia question of the day. Who did Mark Cuban purchase the Dallas Mavericks from?
If we were going to tell him who we sold to, I was going to be able to guess. I have no idea. I know he only bought it for like 200 and something million, though.
He bought it from Ross Perot, who was an interesting character. He ran for president, and pretty smart guy down there in Texas. EDS was his big company. Cuban purchased the Mavericks from H. Ross Perot in the year 2000 for $285 million. And it's almost as interesting as to who's buying it today. A 76-year-old widow, Jewish philanthropist, wife of Sheldon Adelson, who passed away, Las Vegas Sands, was one of their big claims to fame. So Dr. Miriam Adelson, his widow, is purchasing a Mark Cuban majority share. That's not even the whole team, the majority share of the Dallas Mavericks for $2
billion.
$3.5 billion. $76 Barry.
Yeah, it's a $3.5 billion valuation.
Yeah, so that's crazy that, it would be her that would purchase this. Of course, she's got children and grandchildren and whatnot. I just never imagined that she would be an owner of an NBA basketball franchise.
Well, she also owns she's a majority stake owner of the Sands Casino Mark's been trying to legalized gambling in Texas, and has plans, if it ever was legalized, to build a new stadium and have basically a casino attached to it. So I don't know if I did see where he's going to keep he's staying in control of basketball operations. So I guess she doesn't really need to do anything except write a check, right?
Yeah. Well, I think they won a few championships under Mark Cuban back in the Dirk Nowitzki. Okay, Tesla Cybertruck. Are you the one getting it on Friday? They're going to make their first delivery of 10 Cybertrucks this Friday. It's official.
Yeah,
that's not you, huh, Barry?
Not getting one, but I did see, of course, the stories of the of actually building it, and we talk about this all the time. Scaling those cars is important in terms of making as many as possible to get those fixed costs down, and it seems like it's a nightmare to put together, apparently.
Yeah, Tesla's had a couple of good days, and I got to believe that this is why. Tesla was one of the biggest winners in the market yesterday. Is that about 4.5%. Today it's up another 1.7%. the Cybertruck is finally here. They are going to deliver about 10 trucks this Friday, which I'm sure will be a televised event and published around. And we'll see. I mean, he's had his difficulties getting that thing out there.
You think the sledgehammer's coming out on this one?
I don't know. If I'm an owner of the car, I'm not going to test it with the sledgehammer.
Don't try it on mine. Don't try it on theirs. Right?
No. So anyways, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, November the 30th, actually it's tomorrow, he'll dole out the first 10 or so EV pickups. Okay, Bob Iger, he had his big town hall yesterday. There wasn't really much there new. That's very unusual for a CEO to have a town hall discussing the stock, trying to swing the sentiment on the stock a little bit. He's had 1 year, and really the stock has gone nowhere. How do you judge how the town hall went? Well, you look at how the stock's doing today. It's down 1.1%, so not too good. Not too good is what I would say. We started the year owning Disney. We thought maybe Iger had that turnaround talent there in him. But when we started seeing no results, really, we backed out of the stock. You have to know when to walk away from mistakes you make in investments. And that was one. But I don't know what we bought in its place, but it's probably done a heck of a lot better.
I thought you were queuing your Kenny Rogers. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Yeah, you just have to do it. Yeah, you can't be buy and hold, like the old days where you bought a bunch of blue chips and held them forever. The story for me yesterday, too, was, man, all of a sudden gold is just busting loose, breaking out to the upside. I would just say, for whatever reason, the dollar's been dropping.
Well, yeah, and as interest rates, one of the big factors just in currencies in general, there's a bunch of them. One of them happens to be interest rate and interest rate expectations. And the fact of the matter is that, in terms of places that could potentially cut first, right? The U.S. would be one of those where inflation's a little bit more persistent, certainly in the EU, and as you already mentioned in the first segment, in the UK. So comparatively, right, if there's one country, right, that would be able to cut first, that's going to be the US. And I think a lot of that's just some interest rate differential that's really causing the dollar to go down, which is also pushing, as you mentioned in your note, pushing gold up.
Yeah, it's hard to play gold, though. It's hard to buy gold stocks, Newmont Mining, Barrick Gold, whatnot. It's just so unpredictable. Look, I have something to bite my teeth into with earnings and valuations as it relates to stocks. Gold is it is very unpredictable, to say the least. For me, gold is something, you keep for, a real rainy day. If things were to get really out of hand, you want a few little pieces of gold around, I suppose. Bill Ackman sees Fed rate cuts as soon as the first quarter of 2024. Now, he's one of those guys, Barry, in my book, that I've watched over the years, who's wrong more often than he's right, it would seem. But he loves the media. Pershing Square, his hedge fund, has not done very well over the years. He's made some major bets and stocks that didn't pan out, but he sees rate cuts. Now that's going to be, I mentioned this because there's going to be a lot of predictions. The pendulum has swung away from how many more rate hikes does the Fed have left in it. Now it's going to be almost every Fed meeting in the days and weeks leading up to it. We'll be watching the odds of a rate cut, not a rate hike, but a rate cut. I don't see any rate cuts unless all of a sudden the economy were to start falling apart. And with GDP coming in at 5.25 today, I don't see any signs of that, at least not anywhere in the near future. We'll be right back. We'll
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And we do have the internet back up and running there in Dallas. So
it sounds great on my
sounds
end.
A lot better. You know what, Barry? the markets have backed off here since we started the show. This morning, I sent out a chart because, you know, that's yep. part of my two-hour prep. In the morning, is looking at all the charts of the major indexes. And, there was something that really stood out to me in all three indexes. And of course, I've been watching this develop here. We're hitting major resistance. Okay. If you go back to July of this year when the market hit a new high, and then it went through a steep correction, a very steep correction, about 15% on the NASDAQ as interest rates went up to 5%. Well, now we're backing down and we're down around 2.25%. So we had a rally in the NASDAQ that has taken us back up to those July highs. Now, if you connect those with a line, a horizontal line, that is called a ceiling. That is called resistance. It doesn't mean that we're not going to punch our way through that ceiling and march on to new highs. But I said in my comments, I sent out a picture, number one. I sent out about three different messages this morning, pre-market. And I said, you know, I think that it's more likely that we're going to hit that resistance and we're going to back off of it, as opposed to punching through and making new highs, because I really don't see a catalyst for that. You know, we're not in earnings season anymore. Yes, we have a friendlier Fed, but we've come a long ways in a short period of time here. We've had a 200-point rally. We went down 15%, and then we went up 15%,
yeah,
basically.
Really, the month of mostly the month of November. You go look at the chart, and looking at the NASDAQ there, I think that turn upward, I think, was maybe two days before the end of October, and pretty much has held steady through November. So
yes,
it's going to be interesting. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the newsletter every week.
I love looking
at the technical section charts there.
Well, look, obviously we're not the only ones that pay attention to it, because that NASDAQ landed right on its resistance level today, this morning, and then it backed off. That's because a lot of institutions,
algorithms.
Bang.
AI is not something new. It's been used in those algorithms for a while now.
Okay, now the question is, when an index hits major resistance like this, and it's not just the Dow, the NASDAQ, it is the Dow and the S&P 500, what can we expect? Well, generally speaking, you're more inclined to get a pullback than you are a breakthrough, especially after the NASDAQ has come so far so quickly. I mean, it seems like to me it's used up a lot of its gasoline and energy getting back. Does it have enough energy to punch through to new highs? Well, we take that a day at a time. But I would not be in the market buying individual stocks with both hands today. I would be pretty cautious with new money. You know, it was a better buying time 2 months ago, 1 month ago, 6 weeks ago, or whatever it was. And now the market has a decision to make. And I think the best case scenario is that it levels off and maintains this level. You know, December can be kind of dicey. You get the window dressing in December,
and you also tax loss harvesting.
Tax loss harvesting, and with more stocks being down this year than up, there's going to be a lot of selling in December for people to lock in tax losses to write off those losses. If they like the stock, they'll wait 30 days and get
buy it
back
in
into it.
Yep.
That's the January effect.
Yep.
But I just think that, you know, it's pretty amazing that we hit that resistance level. And I looked at our returns. We were up a lot more, you know, when we started the show than we are now. And I said, we must have hit the resistance level. I looked at it, bang, that's where it is. So we'll be staying on top of that.
Yeah, and I heard you when I was trying to get in on the first part. I heard you talk about the passing of Charlie Munger, and remind me before the end of the show, I'll give you a good quote of his that actually reminds me of you. So I'll get that in the second half, last part of the show.
I hope I make it to 101. I want to beat his record.
It involves fishing, so I figured.
Oh yeah. He had a good quote on EBITDA, too, which is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization.
That one's a little the kids will have to put their hands over their ears for that.
Censor that one. Now, this is unusual. Jack Ma praises. We talked about this PDD yesterday, just being the stock. If you want a Chinese stock, that's the one. It's just eating everybody's lunch. And Jack Ma is praising his rival, PDD, in an internal memo. He's saying, hey, Alibaba needs to correct course. I don't think he runs Alibaba anymore, but I'm sure he still has a lot of say there. But it's unusual for one CEO to that would be like Bill Gates congratulating Google for what they did with search, taking away their...
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen, right?
Well, the thing in China, it just seems like, you know, whatever company ends up being on top, right, tends to become scrutinized, and then, you know, either the CEO disappears or they change the game, and then, you know, that company goes back. I mean, you think of, you know, Alibaba is a great example. Baidu, JD.com, right?
Yep.
When they started changing some of the gaming laws for kids.
They have to approve.
ByteDance, I think that was another piece of one of those as well. But
yeah, and ByteDance owns TikTok. So,
yeah.
You know, I remember a time when Tencent Holdings was a major player in the world globally.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like whichever one's on top, just wait.
Maybe it's time to short PDD.
Right, I don't know.
Now, okay, one of the stocks of the day, it's not one we own, General Motors, okay? We were back in the Bloomfield Hills not too long ago. Which is, I don't know, 10, 12 miles from Detroit, something like that. Mostly we ran into Ford people, it would seem like. But General Motors is up almost 11% today. They reinstate their 2023 earnings outlook. Of course, the strike is behind them. They plan a $10 billion share buyback program. And they're going to increase their dividend by 33%. Right now, the dividend yield is 1.1%. So, what, it'll go up to about 1.5%, something like that. So, GM, at least, must be pretty optimistic here about their future. Even though I got to believe their cost went up a lot in the agreement that they made with the UAW. I wouldn't be running into GM stock myself. But maybe there's a lot of short covering there today. GM has been hitting new lows here recently. But it is up almost 11% on eight times normal volume today. GM. Okay, we've got some. The other stock of the day for me is one we own. CrowdStrike. I would say between Palo Alto Networks and CrowdStrike, for me, those are the two best cybersecurity stocks, and we own them both. And CrowdStrike is having a whale of a day, 9 times normal volume. They came in with earnings that were up 105% versus the same quarter last year. Sales up 35%. Look at the breakout on that stock.
Wow.
That's not a new all-time high. The all-time high was 298. It's at 229 now. It is breaking out. It's up 8.1% today. Is CrowdStrike, CRWD. Now, let's just take a look at some of the numbers.
What a pretty year-to-date chart.
Oh, 12-month
chart on that one. Huh? Just a slow, okay. Look slow and steady up.
Now, if we look at, this is a $50 billion company. I'm looking at the Best Stocks Now app.com, the brand new Best Stocks Now app.com, which I am so happy with how that turned out. I haven't heard one complaint yet. That's always good. Real quickly, as of yesterday, this stock still had 75% upside potential. It was still in the buy range. It's out of that buy range right now. And as of yesterday, it was ranked number 15 overall. It's up 18% or $18 a share or 8.6%. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, the market, the NASDAQ, when it hits resistance, you know, usually it'll take several runs at it and bump its head several times and either fail or break through. So it's hitting its head against resistance the first time here today. You got to go back to July of this year when the NASDAQ was hitting its high. Not its all-time high, but its 52-week high. The all-time high is up around 16,000, just over 16,000. And it's made a run at that high and hit it this morning and has been backing off.
Still a lot of green on the screen here.
Yeah, it still looks pretty good. So interest rates are helping us a lot here today with the clear down to 4.28. Now, I just want to say something about the BestStocksNowApp.com. For a minute, because this dawned on me yesterday. There's a lot of quant models out there. I have never found a good one. I've looked at many of the models that are built. Seeking Alpha has their own quant model. Schwab had a quant model for a long time. I don't know if they still do. I have to look and see. But I never found one that was any good, Barry. I looked at the stocks that were their top-rated stocks, and I didn't like them at all. And I realized what's missing from every quant model that I know. If there's another quant model out there that includes valuation and a 5-year target price as one half of the formula, almost one half of the formula, that takes a lot of work to come up with that valuation, a lot of work.
And it's a combination, right? It's a combination of technical analysis and valuation.
Yeah.
When you're mixing those two schools of thought, because as a CFA or chartered financial analyst, you know, I can tell you that 90% of that curriculum is about valuation.
Yeah.
It ties a lot back to Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett and their teacher Ben Graham.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other school of thought, right, the technical analysis side or the chartered market technician, both of those schools, you know, rarely interact, right? You just one looks at valuation, one just looks at charts, where
it's
in reality,
like,
both of those together are better, right?
It's like the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah.
They
right.
rarely cross the aisle, right, and shake hands with each other. I would say that the face of value is Benjamin Graham and Buffett and those guys, and I would say the face of the momentum was William O'Neill. I bought my first Investor's Business Dailies 30 years ago. I used to stop. I commuted to work, and I would stop every morning at a newspaper machine on the road to work in front of a cafe there and get my Investor's Business Daily, IBD, out of the machine. And the Can-Slim method was a very revolutionary method that came out of William O'Neill. I subscribed to the Daily Graphs 30 years ago, and they would come in my driveway every Saturday morning. They were static. They weren't interactive. They weren't updated daily. They were updated weekly, and they weren't online. They were in a printed version.
It was like your coloring book. You had to draw your lines and everything else, right?
But the problem I had with CanSlim is it totally ignores valuation. And I also, you know, in San Diego, we had a very famous value investor by the name of Charles Brandis. And Charles Brandis was a broker at Merrill Lynch in La Jolla, and everybody went to lunch, I think, and so he was the broker on call if somebody were to stop by. And in walked Benjamin Graham and became a client of Brandis and a mentor to Brandis,
yeah.
And he built one of the biggest value shops. It was just down the street from us where I worked there in Delmar area for many years. And I always said, you know, there's a lot to be said for value, and there's a lot to be said for momentum. Why don't the two of them get together? So I did it in my own spreadsheet. I played around with it for several years until I had just the right balance. Started seeing stocks that were astonishing. And I was so astonished by the results that I was coming up with that I wrote my book back in 2011 called The Best Stocks Now. And that was 2011. Well, you can go back and look at those stocks that I came up with that were showing up on my screens at that time. Many of them have gone on to be huge winners in the market. They're still great stocks today. Priceline.com has changed its name to Booking.
Yeah.
But it was a combination of valuation and momentum. And so, like I say, and here's, I'll just say one other thing here. Look at TipRanks, all right? TipRanks has us rated in the top 3%. Because we combine valuation into that formula, you can't go on just, you know, O'Neill started a mutual fund that was called the New America Fund. And the results were not very good because when the NASDAQ gets creamed in 79, they weren't paying, or in, set down 79% in 2001, they weren't paying any attention to valuation. It was all momentum. And it got clocked. So he didn't do very well with his mutual fund. I think if he could have put a V in that CanSlim formula somewhere, it would have produced better results. But anyways.
Well, and the other piece of it's an active strategy, and it kind of ties into this quote from Munger here. It's it says, I have a friend who's a fisherman. I know one as well.
Yeah,
he says, I have a simple rule for success in fishing. Fish where the fish are.
Exactly.
He said, if you want to fish where the bargains are, that simple. If the fishing is really lousy where you are, you should probably look for another place to
pick
fish.
Up and move. Yeah. I mean, I picked up and moved from Disney and a few others, and I did get a stone crab in my trap yesterday.
There you go.
That's not bad. But I put him back. You know, he wasn't quite.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are on the old stone crab.
Yeah,
up there.
Well, it's one claw, and I don't know if they're in season. So I erred on the side of being a good conservationist. Anyways, if you would like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, it's the only newsletter that I know of and the only quant system, and it's human intelligence. Yes, we use artificial intelligence to come up with the players where the fish are, but then if you want to identify the exact fish you want to bring into the boat, that's where the human intelligence comes in. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Try the free version of the app and check it out. Test it out. BestStocksNowApp.com. To set up an appointment with us and to put this to work for you, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.